Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We magnify your mercy. Thanking you for this just another day that you've allowed us to see. A day that's not promised to us, but God, you allowed us to see it, to breathe the fresh air, to see it, sunshine, to feel, oh God, the breeze blowing in our faces, oh God. We thank you today for allowing us to see the trees that you have made. Oh God, we thank you for the beauty that you have made in this earth, oh God. We magnify your name. For life in the body, we thank you for life eternal. Oh God, we bless your name tonight. We ask you, Lord, to touch the minds and hearts of your people everywhere. Lord, look at us tonight. We need your hand touch, oh God. Touch, heal, and deliver like only you can do. Lord, you know our heart's desire. You know those thoughts, Lord, that no one else knows. You know those desires, Lord, that no one else knows. You know the things that we have need of even before we ask. And God, we touch right now according to your mighty and precious word. Deliver your people. Set the captive free everywhere. Free the minds of your people, oh God. Someone is trodden down. Someone is burdened down. Someone is heavy, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to lift them now. Lift up every hung down spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, give a refreshing tonight. Give a renewing, oh God. Yes, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We send revival throughout this land, oh God. And we lift your name on tonight on high. Now, Lord, as we go forth into your word, open the hearts and minds of your people, oh God, that we may receive tonight of your precious word tonight. Yes, Lord, forgive us of all of our sins and our shortcomings, oh God, and wash us once again in your precious blood. If you wash us, Lord, we shall be clean. We shall be whole. If you wash us, Lord. If you wash us, O God, we shall be forgiven. We shall be set free. We shall be made whole tonight. Amen. Amen. God bless you, my brother and my sister. Our scripture tonight, just for opening, Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy goodness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. I read to you Lamentations 3:21-27. We thank you tonight for tuning in once again for the Lord's grace and mercy that he has shown tuning in. Thank you for tuning in. Amen. To hear a word from the Lord on tonight and just to be support and the mind of Christ's covenant ministries on tonight. We thank you for each and every one who have tuned in, for your love and your support. We thank you for your prayers that you're sending, because we do need your prayers on tonight. We thank you. Amen. Amen. We're trusting God for great and mighty things. The Lord is already doing great things. He spoke to me the other day. Amen. During prayer, he spoke to me, and the Lord said, miracles, signs, and wonders. We're living in the last days that we need, amen, we need to have a firm hold on God. We need to grasp him and not let him go. The things that are going on in our society, amen, the deaths that are taking place, the tragedies that are all around us, we need to know that God is with us and he's on our side. We need to know that we have hope in him. We have a resting place in him, that we trust him, and he's going to bring us out all right. If you keep your hands in his hands, all things will work out. Amen. Amen. We thank God tonight. We're not going to be before you long for your patience. We're going to go quickly to the word of God. I enjoy the Lord's word on tonight. I don't know about you, but I enjoy the Lord's word. Amen. For in his word, we find life. We find hope in the things that we need. Yes, and it's even good. It's even good for us after we read the word of God, the Bible. Amen. The B-I-B-L-E, which is basic instructions before leaving earth. Once we have read the book, the Bible itself, it is always good, amen, to research, amen, and do some studying for yourself. It's always good to open up other books of knowledge, amen, other books of truth, amen, that other books that are factual and truthful. Research and find out the hidden truths and the hidden mysteries that God has for us. Amen. Man has a way of manipulating and trying to monopolize, amen, everything that he puts his hand on, trying to divide and to conquer everything that he puts his hands on. Amen. But God has given us understanding. He's given us wisdom and knowledge. Amen. He said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge, because a man won't pick up a book or a woman won't pick up a book and begin to read and research for themselves. It's easy to lead them astray. I heard someone say not too long ago that when you know your rights, and when you know your rights, amen, people, even in authority, that hold positions of authority, they cannot run over you. They cannot come against you or take advantage of you when you know your rights. Amen. But when you don't know your right, know your self-worth, when you don't know what you have within you, and what you are capable of doing or able to do, what you are allowed to do, that people can tell you anything and bombard you, run you over, mislead you, amen, lead you astray. But I encourage you, amen, take out the time in your life, amen, to pick up some good books and begin to read and research for yourself. Amen, that you will know the truth. For the word of God tells us that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. And that's only if you know the truth shall it make you free. Amen. So I encourage you tonight, in your spare time, amen, in your spare time, on your lunch breaks, amen, when you're sitting at home watching a movie, sometimes cut that movie off. When you're sitting up with that in your hand, flipping through Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, amen, I encourage you, lay that phone down, cut the ringer off, pick up you a book, pick up the Word of God, and begin to research and read and study the Word of God. Cross-reference, man, and search out. He said, if you seek me, you shall find me. We have not because we ask not. And then when we do ask him, we don't really believe what we're asking of him. Amen. We don't believe. We don't have the faith to secure us and that's solid enough to stand on what we have asked him to do, to trust and believe he's going to do it. But when you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the God you serve is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ask or even think, amen, there's nothing wavering in your mind or in your spirit, but you stand firm in confidence, knowing that God is capable of doing above all that we can ask of him. Amen. The small things that we may ask of him to do, amen, he's able to do that and then some and beyond that. But we have to trust him, to lean and depend on him. David encourages us in Psalms to trust in the Lord, amen, with all of our heart. Amen. And for us not to lean to our own understanding. Don't put our hope and trust in ourselves or in man or in flesh, because we'll fail every time. But when you put your trust and hope in God, amen, who knows all things, who created all things, who's everywhere at the same time, there is nothing hid from him. There is nothing done that he does not already know it's what's going to be done. Amen. We have to put our trust in him, and he will lead and guide us. He will take us to the next level. He will take us to those places that we know not of, but we have to trust and depend on him. Tonight, we want to just share a word, and then for a few moments, in the book of St. Luke, the third chapter, and I will be paraphrasing, but I want to read a couple of scriptures to you, amen, tonight, to share with you what indeed we are expected to do, or what's expected of us. The story here we find in the book of St. Luke, amen, is the story of John the Baptist. I'm sure you are familiar with the story, and you're familiar with John the Baptist, amen. Heard him preached by others on different occasions, or what have you. But we want to share just a few things tonight that's very important and vital to us that we must understand. This message that John the Baptist preached, they must, amen, repent. Verse 4 in chapter 3 says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Verse 6. And all flesh, the salvation of God. Now, as John was ministering, he was preaching to a group or people of disbelief. Mm-hmm. For he said, O ye generation of vipers. We know that vipers or snakes, not only do they bite their own kind, but they bite everything and anything that's close to them. Call them vipers, because the spirit of the snake, the spirit of lashing out, to destroy, to bring down, to embarrass, to they say now put on Front Street, the spirit of hatred, as they say, hateration, that was there then is in the world today, is prevalent in the land today. And he said, oh, ye generation, of while you're sitting here judging and passing judgment on one another, because of who you are or what your position is, you have the audacity to lash out at someone else who you feel is less than you are, or who you feel is not as educated as you are, or who you feel is not where you are spiritually so, or even financially so. So they begin to lash out at one another and to judge one another, to begin to put one another down, and even so to the point where they begin to destroy one another. And I want you to understand that it's not only sticks and stones that break bones, but words do hurt. Words pierce even to the heart, even to the soul. Words go far beyond what sticks and stones can do. Or a stick and a stone can break the bone or even bust open the flesh and go straight through the flesh and go straight to the inner core or the inner being of an individual. So that we understand tonight that words do hurt. But also words can give life. And the Bible tells us, he said, for the power of life and death is in the tongue. Mm-hmm. The power of life and death is in the tongue. So what you speak shall be. We understand and have to know for certainty that the word of God is true and is right. He said, whatsoever things you speak out of your mouth, whatsoever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever things you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the power of life and death is in the tongue. And we have the power, be not as though they already are. So even if you're not in Christ Jesus, even if you don't profess salvation, your tongue carries power. Your mouth, your tongue, what you speak carries weight and carries power. And you can speak either life unto yourself, or you can speak damnation to yourself. But here we find St. John, or the Apostle John, him preaching. As he was preaching, coming from the wilderness, the word of God came to him. God began to deal with John the Baptist while he was in the wilderness, wearing animal skin as clothing, eating crickets, grasshoppers and wild locusts, the Bible, and wild locusts and wild honey, while in the wilderness. And while he was eating these things, the Lord began to deal with John the Baptist and told him to go and tell the people to prepare themselves for a Savior. Now, we understand that people had been dying throughout the ages, fearful of death, not knowing where they would go, not knowing anything of what is beyond, for no one had died and came back to share with them and tell them what was on the other side. And here we have Christ Jesus coming. John the Baptist is saying, y'all must prepare and get yourselves ready to receive him. He said, I am not the Christ. I am not that one, but I am come to prepare you to receive the one. I am not the promised one, but I am coming to prepare you to receive the promised one, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the only begotten of the Father. I'm not worthy. I'm not even worthy. He said that I'm coming to let you know that he's coming, and we must prepare ourselves for him to come. my brother and my sister, Christ is going back. He's soon to come. He's coming for a church, for a people without a spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing. He's coming back for a people who have love in their heart. He's coming back for a people who have love in their heart. He said, I seek true worshipers, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. True worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth. Who is not afraid to call on the name of Jesus, who is not afraid to sit down and take out the time to worship him, not just praise him, for the Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So anybody and anything can praise the Lord. For the dogs barking can praise the Lord. The chickens or the roosters crowing can praise the Lord. When the dolphins noise is in talking, they're praising the Lord. So the animals, when the wind blows, it's praising the Lord. Because the cows mooing, so everything can praise the Lord. But when it comes to worship, only true worshipers can worship God. Only those who worship him in spirit and in truth, who have a personal relationship with him, who have been through some things with him, who some things he have brought you out of, you know him to be a healer. You know him to be a way maker. You know him to be a problem solver. You know him to be a peacemaker. You know him to make your enemies be at peace with you. I'm talking about those who have experienced some things and waited on the Lord, and the Lord manifested his power, his strength through you and in you and in your midst. And to those of you who are true worshipers tonight. So the Bible is declaring and letting us know that John came and he preached repentance to a sinful world. And we must also do the same thing. It is not for us to receive or have God's word down on the inside. We go to church week after week. We attend Bible study. We attend prayer meetings. We attend faithfully in church Sunday mornings. And we get this word from the Lord. And then we go back into our homes and to our jobs and what have you, and we clam up and we don't say anything, and we don't share anything, and then people don't even know that our life is a witness because we're even living the life that we're listening to and taking notes from and heeding to from the Word of God. For our life is saying something totally different from what we are being taught, or what we are reading, or what we are professing. And so we have to. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify who? The Father, which is in heaven. So we have to let our light shine. And in order for our light to shine, relationship with the Lord. So John the Baptist here is teaching and he's telling the people that you must repent of your sins. Whatever your position, it does not matter your position. It does not matter your title. It does not matter how many degrees you have. It does not matter what your financial status is. It does not matter who you think you may be or who you think you may know. But we all must repent of our sins. He said, repent of your sins. And repent means to ask for forgiveness, be sorry for what you have done, not to repeat what you have done, but to move forward from that. Amen. Repent from your sins and be baptized. And the baptism of water is only an outward expression of what's taking place on the inside. The water baptism, again, is only an outward expression of an inward working. When the power of the Lord comes on the inside and begins to work on the inside, when you ask the Lord for forgiveness of your sins and you repent of your sins, you're dying to sin only to live in Christ. So the water comes, is there, or the baptism is there to show the world, I have died from myself, from my sins. I'm laying the sinful world down and aside only to walk with God wholeheartedly and fully. I'm laying down every weight and the sin that does so easily beset, that I can run this race, that I can repent and be forgiven of my sins, that God can use me according as he will. And not only use me, but when he comes back again, I'll be able to go back with him when he comes, and I will be able to have eternal life abiding in us. We don't wait to get to heaven to have eternal life. No, we don't. We don't wait to get to heaven to have eternal life, but eternal life abides within us right now. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, eternal life abides within you at that moment you say yes to God. When you say yes to the Lord and you ask for forgiveness and you repent of sins, eternal life. When Christ comes into you, for he is life itself, he is eternal life itself. When you accept him into your heart, he becomes the eternal life that abides within you presently. And eternal life abides within you. Now it's up to us as individuals to continue, amen, to maintain, to hold that life within us, to keep that eternal life, amen. We can do things that will cause ourselves to walk away from God or to turn away from what we know that is, amen. But never let anyone or anything deter you or cause you to walk away from what you know is the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ is the Son, only begotten Son of God. You don't believe nothing else in this book, in this Bible. And you may feel that this book may be all truthful for whatever reason. You may feel that some things may have been tainted or changed around or shifted for someone else's standards or approval. You may feel like the Bible may not be as truthful as you thought it may have been. But I want to come. I want you to understand, and I want you to know tonight, the word of God is true. Amen. The word of God is true. And that's why I said earlier to take our time to research the Bible, and then don't be afraid to read other books and things that speak the truth, that give us knowledge, that we can study material, to study and research the truth, that we may know the truth. Amen. And as we begin to know the truth, amen. But knowing the truth is not for us to walk around with our head high or our head to share the truth in love with others, be free also. Not in a confusing way, but in the truthful way. Amen. The Bible tells us again, declares to us, Paul encourages Timothy to study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. He said, not unto man. He said, but Timothy, my son in the gospel, I encourage you to study, study to show yourself approved unto God, which is your reasonable service. And if you can study to show yourself approved unto God, if you can seek for God's approval, not man, but God's approval, amen, then everything else will fall into place. When you seek for God's approval, he will begin to open up doors for you and set things in order in your life. When you seek for God's approval. But as long as you're trying to please man and seeking for man's, will always fall short. Something here or there will cause man to find flaws or fault in you. But when you're seeking to please God, that's all that matters. For God is the one who's almighty. He has all power in his hand. He has the final word over all of our lives. And we all must stand before him. So here we find that John the Baptist, as he began to preach, amen, repentance unto the sinful people, he said, now once you have repented in your heart of your sins, once you have confessed with your mouth, repented in your heart of your sins, he said, now come on, let's go down to the water. He said, for I'm going to baptize you with water. He said, I'm going to baptize you with water to show the world your inward working, what's taking place on the inside. We're going down to the water to show the world that it may be an outward expression to show them what's taking place on the inside. He said, but I want you to know that as I'm taking you to the water to baptize you with water, he said, there is one who's coming after me, the Christ, the one that I'm preaching and preparing you for. He's coming after I come. And when he comes, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He shall give you the power from on high. He shall endow his spirit, the spirit of God that abides in the heavens. He's going to allow this precious Holy Spirit to come down and be a part of you. This power that comes down is going to be able to keep you, to lead and to guide you into all truth. This Holy Spirit, this precious Spirit of God will direct you and keep you when the enemy would come to take you into the places you know not of or have been, as the Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you. He said not only that, but he will bring all things to your remembrance. So what you put into your body, what you read and study and research and put in there, don't worry, it is not forgotten and lost, but the Holy Ghost will bring it up at that appointed time when it is needed. You may try and then try to pack it in and study hard to remember some things, and sometimes things just seem to get away from us. But the Holy Ghost will bring it right to your remembrance at the time that it is needed. Amen. So don't. But he said, I'm going to go and take you to the water, but God, the Lord, is coming to baptize you with fire, with the Holy Ghost. And he is a keeping power. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost. Now we understand the story of the two thieves that were on the cross. When Christ said, the thief said, I deserve to be here, but you have done nothing to be on this cross. And he said, Father, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Amen. He was repenting in his heart and with his mouth. Amen. He knew that he had done wrong, and the punishment that he had received, he deserved. And he said, but I don't want to be lost. He said, but when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And the Lord said to him, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. For the Lord took him with him when he gave up the ghost. He took him with him to paradise, to a peaceful place called paradise, where all the believers are there resting, waiting for the second coming of the Lord. The Bible says when the angel of the Lord, the trump of God, shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us who are alive and remain, we shall all be caught up together to meet him in the air. Amen. So I want to be one of those that are caught up. If I'm still on this earth, I want to be caught up. But if I should happen to make my transition before the Lord's return, I want to know and make sure I am prepared, that I've repented of my sins, and I'm prepared to go back with him when he comes. And I encourage you tonight to make sure that you're ready tonight. Make sure you repent. Go ask forgiveness of those that by men who have wronged you or you have wronged. Ask for forgiveness. Clear your way. Make sure your way is clear. For the Bible says we know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall return. We know not the day nor the hour, for he may come like a thief in the night. Amen. Unexpectedly, he may come in. And we want to be prepared and ready for him when he comes. We want to be able to go back with him when he comes. We want to hear him say, well done. Just as John, amen, preached repentance unto those sinners and to those that were lost, amen. I want to encourage you that if you know the Lord, if you know the Lord on tonight, you preach the word, begin to share the word, begin to the word of God to those and let them know the Lord is on his way back. Make sure you have oil in your lamps. Make sure your light is burning. Make sure you're ready to go back with him. Make sure your way is clear to go back with the Lord when he comes. Begin to share with others. Do you ask them, do you know the Lord? No Savior. Begin to witness and tell others about this great God that we serve. If he's been good to you, you ought to let someone know that he's been good and begin to share as John the Baptist did. He came out of the wilderness to tell the testimony, to share with others. You come out of the wilderness. You come out of your closet. You come out of your secret place. You come out of your cubby hole, your comfort zone, and begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people that they can go back with him when he comes. God bless you, my brother, my sister. Be encouraged tonight, knowing that God is on your side.